Hey friends, join us for this episode of On.NET, where I'm joined by Daryl Miller to talk about the Graph SDK and .NET. Welcome everyone to another episode of On.NET. Today, I'm fortunate to be joined by Mr. Daryl Miller, a good friend, and an API architect for the Graph SDK. And we're going to learn about the ins and outs, about why and when to use the Graph SDK. And hopefully we'll learn some new things today. Daryl, hey, how are you?
I'm awesome. Good to awesome. Be here.
That's my line. How dare you?
Well, great, it's awesome minds to have you. Think alike.
Yes. Well, we did join the meeting at the exact same time. So, I mean, it's fate. How things in the Graph SDK land?
Well, super busy. Actually, we now have a new SDK PM. Our team in Nairobi is growing, and we have a new PM named Rowena. So I'm slowly offloading some of my responsibilities. I was like, I could get her to come and do this session, but it's kind of late at night at the moment for Nairobi.
Next time.
Yes, indeed.
Right. So there are some people that may not know what the Graph SDK is. So do you want to give us a bit of an explanation what is and why you should be using it?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, the Microsoft Graph, we're a very large HTTP API for accessing all of your data in the Microsoft 365 cloud. And in order to make it easier to access that API, we ship a SDK. For .NET space, it's a NuGet package. Actually, it's two NuGet packages, and we'll talk about a little bit more about that in later on.
Sure. And how does the Graph SDK relate to the identity? Because this is the identity series, obviously. And we've done quite a few things with SDKs myself as well with the Graph, but how do they relate?
And so the Microsoft Graph SDK has the ability for you to plug in any kind of auth provider. We have some auth providers that allow you to connect up to MSAL, and that's definitely the easiest way to be able to get that token when using the Graph SDK.
Right, so MSAL is the Microsoft Authentication Library, but
right.
There's this thing about consenting, right? So I create my app registration, and then in there, I need to go and configure some things, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when folks, especially folks coming over from the Azure side, they always run into this, wait, what is this whole consent and permissions things? I'm not used to this, right? The difference with Graph is you're building an app that then other people are going to run to be able to access their data. So when you run that application is going to pop up a dialogue that says, hey, you running this app, do you really want it to access that data? And the app actually has to make a declaration and say, I would like to access this particular type of data. I want to access your emails. I want to access your files, your calendar, so that the user can consent. And that consent is then recorded. So that adds an extra little bit of complication that folks are probably not used to in many APIs that they've been working with. And then it goes a little bit further because there's two types of permissions. There's what we call delegated access and app-only access. And so these two types of permissions, generally there's both of them available, although there's some that we're still working on teams saying, hey, you have to add app-only access. So delegated is where your application accesses data on behalf of the user who signed in. That's where in MSAL you would use a public client application often. And app-only access is where you would obviously use a confidential client because there's some kind of secret, because the application is accessing data on its own behalf, effectively. And that very often requires administrative consent in order to allow that application to get access to that data.
Right. So for applications that we expect to have users, like a web app or a client app, like a mobile app, then you can expect the user to authenticate and provide that consent, right? So I want to access my directory or my OneDrive data or my emails, then that's where delegate authentication comes in, or delegate consent. And then for app only, there's a daemon app running somewhere that needs to go and pull some data from Graph. At that point, we don't expect any users to log in. It should be running on its own. And that's where app only access is available.
There can actually be hybrid scenarios where you have a user signs into an app, they're working on some data, but in the back end, the app is using a SharePoint list to be able to store some data. And it wants all users who log in to be able to access that same SharePoint. So it might actually use app only to access that shared storage.
Right. Yes. So not one or the other. It can be a hybrid scenario. Thanks for clarifying. And so we have tokens that we have to go and grab, right? So it's an access token that once I prove who I am, then I need to get access to the resources. And that's where the access tokens comes in.
Yeah. And we don't get the access tokens. We delegate to MSAL using this auth provider thing. If you look at a bunch of samples out there, they'll use kind of basically like a delegate, which is called delegated auth provider. That kind of is, it throws it back in the user and says, go do all the work yourself.
Right.
Which is why we built this auth provider library for all the different scenarios. So if you want to do device code flow, there's a scenario. If you want to do interactive, there's an auth provider for that. That library actually never came out of preview because there was a slight pivot that happened. Sure. And we realized that the Azure team were building almost the same thing with the Azure identity libraries, but they happened to call them token credentials. But they serve the same purpose. They are an adapter between the credentials that you're coming with and the MSAL library under the covers. And so we will be moving to a model that has that uses token credentials. And if you actually, if you pull a preview of our core library at the moment, you'll be able to use that. And the Azure Identity libraries have these neat things where they have this thing called a chained token credential.
Yeah.
So that you can set something up that says, well, if I'm in a dev environment, go get the token from here. And if you're in a production environment, go get it from, say, managed identity. And so that's really cool. It also comes with another thing called default Azure credential, which does work really well in the Azure world. It doesn't work quite so well in the Graph world because of that whole consent thing.
Right.
So chain token credentials, awesome. Use it. The other credentials, you'll be able to use those soon. But for the moment, use the auth providers. And why don't we show you how to do that?
Absolutely. Let's get in some code. Awesome. Show me the code.
Okay. So always start with the absolute simplest thing possible. This is a .NET Core console app. I created it basically just doing .NET new console. And there we go. I had my hello world. And I added a few lines of code. And we'll just walk through this just to show the steps that are involved. And as I mentioned, we use MSAL. So we are here. And I'm going to do a device code auth because it's in a console app. So it's the simplest thing to do and get working cross-platform.
So this still requires a user interaction, right?
Yes, absolutely. So we are going to use Public Application Builder. We're going to go create. I've provisioned myself a client ID, which I did using a PowerShell script from our Microsoft Graph SDKs.
Yes.
And so it's nice and repeatable.
Mm-hmm.
Because I always forget to click on something when going through that app registration portal. So this creates me a public client application. And then I'm going to create, as I mentioned, a device code provider. There are other providers available for other scenarios.
Right.
And I pass in that public client application and also provide in initial scopes. So I know that this particular application is only going to go and do read a user. So I'm going to put user. I should probably have just done user.read, but I put user.read.all, which allows me to access to all users. And I can set up the basic set of scopes here that I want this app to consent to when you first run it.
Right.
And that builds me an authentication provider, and I pass it into Graph Service Client. And there you go. I have a Graph Client. And then I can go and use the Graph Client in order to make the request. And the Graph Client, again, works a little bit differently than a lot of the Azure services. When the Azure services, each one gets its own client, whereas there's one Graph Client for all of Graph, and there's a hierarchy. So as if I can use the dotting mechanism here, I get in IntelliSense, oh, I can send mail via here. I can go to Teams-related things. There's all kinds of different. I can get my calendars. But for this example, we're just going to go get me, which is my profile. I'm going to go get a request. And then from the request, I could provide other options here. And then I just, am I going to get it, update it? In this case, I just want to retrieve it. So I call get. And
that's nice. Async method.
So moment of truth, we're going to run it and try it.
Yeah. Four lines of code, end to end.
Yes, we shouldn't be quite so hopeful that this will. We should be very confident that this is going to work. But any time spent working with auth, it always finds a way to trip you up because there are just so many different variations on how this can actually work in so many different situations. And especially with all of the new features that are constantly being added into Azure AD with the multi-factor auth and all this stuff. And one of the reasons why we use the auth provider as a wrapper is because we don't want you just going and grabbing a token and then... okay. That's an interesting one. Okay. It's the first time I've ever seen that dialogue box. Apparently...
There's always a first time.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Well, we'll tell it to add this new configuration. It's not like I haven't run this thing 100 times before today, but okay. While it's running, I will continue my story about auth providers and why they're useful. Because we don't want you to just grab a token and hold on to it. Because MSAL does all kinds of wonderful stuff under the covers, like, hey, if that token has expired, it uses a refresh token to go off and get another one.
Yes.
Another piece of functionality that we will be building in very, very soon is another really cool capability called continuous access. I guess I'm going to have to start this demo again.
There you go. You got your web browser.
There we go. I got my device code flow. I'm just going to hop over onto a web browser here and go AKA MS device login.
I didn't know we have an AKA the MS link. Damn. Nice. See, I learned something new today. I'm done for the day.
Okay, we're going to sign into this.
Test tenant?
Yes, test tenant, of course.
M365 developer program. If you haven't used that one, we'll give you a link.
And yeah, the excitement of console.writeLineUser.displayName, I logged in as mod administrator.
Perfect.
This, I'm not hired for my UX skills.
I don't think any of us is unless you are hired as a UX designer. So as long as the code works, somebody else has to make it look nice.
Absolutely.
That's my prerogative.
So the idea here is I've been able to acquire a token, this provider. The nice thing is like when I'm making the call to Graph, I just don't have to think about that token itself.
Yes.
It just magically goes and gets it for me. It magically goes and refreshes it as needed. And as I mentioned, we're going to be adding in a new capability that's coming into AAD called continuous access evaluation. And with that mechanism, what happens is normally tokens are given an hour-long lifetime.
Yep.
But what happens if somebody goes and changes the password or their account is closed, that token's still good for an hour.
Yep.
With continuous access evaluation, we can shut that token down immediately. And
nice.
The nice side effect is we can make those tokens last longer. So those tokens will be good, I think, up for like 24 hours, those tokens. So they won't need to be refreshed anywhere near as often as before. So,
and developers don't have to change their code. It all comes down to how the IT admins are managing the Azure AD. Perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So that was the easy example, right? Getting a console app, no problem. Now, what about actually building a web app, right?
Yes. How about web apps?
Web apps, right? Now, there's a few parts of this. One, first of all, I did the same thing. I did .NET new template.
Okay.
And use the web app. But this time now you do --auth in order to say, please, will you pull me in some of the auth stuff?
Yes.
And that brings us in all of the sign-in mechanism in order to be able to sign into a web app. But then what happens if I actually want to call a backend API? There's a bunch of extra steps that we need to do. So I'm just going to flip over to my other browser here. And we'll start with the app settings because there was some new items that I need to add into the app settings. So first of all, I need to put it in a tenant ID. I don't actually need the tenant ID because I set this up as a multi-tenant app. I can just put common in here. So we're all good. Because this app is now going to be taking the incoming token and converting it for token to call graph, it needs its own client secret to be able to authenticate itself to be able to get a token. So I'm going to go and delete that secret right after this session. So try not, you don't need to try and remember it. Okay. So there's a few other things, and rather than me kind of guessing at what are the things that changed, I created them in a different branch, and I'm going to use GitLens here to show you the different things that changed. We've already looked at app settings. So let's first look at our project, because I pulled in some new libraries here. I pulled in the new, fairly new, Microsoft Identity.web.
Yes,
which is a layer over MSAL to work with ASP.NET to do this magic of taking this incoming token and converting it for a token for a backend API.
Yep.
It also has another library for identity.web.ui. And just to make life super easy, identity.web.microsoft.graph. And this is the latest version as of Friday. It was a new version of this release, so it's got some new fancy features in Microsoft.identity.web.
Living on the edge.
That's, absolutely. I need this video to last for as long as possible. So if we go head over into the startup, because that's where all the magic happens.
Yes.
You'll see there's more red than there is green, which is good, because it means we got to delete a whole bunch of code.
Oh, yeah.
So now, if I can get that scroll bar to appear, there we go. We've added services.addAuthentication, OpenID Connect defaults. Okay, this is a little tricky. Let's see if I can just hide that. There we go. We'll give ourselves a little bit more space here. Okay. So we are adding authentication. And then we're saying add Microsoft Identity Web App configuration. Now, you can either do this for Identity Web App or Web API. You know this. You've done lots of demos on this. And then you say enable token acquisition to call the downstream API, and I provide it with my initial
scopes.
And because we want to keep hold of tokens for a little while, we just use the in-memory token cache. There are other token caches, session token cache, or more fancy Redis ones, all kinds of things there out of the box. And then we get to add Microsoft Graph. Now, this is the new overload. There's a couple of overloads that were there in the earlier version that allowed you to just provide a base URL and provide the scopes. This one actually accepts a func. Passes in an auth provider, which is the magical one that Identity Web creates for me, which I then pass into my Graph service client. Perfect. And if you want to do any kind of customization that you want in here, you can do this right here, however you want to set up your Graph service client.
Right.
And then you just return that back out. And we need to pass in the initial scopes into the auth provider also. And so that's what how that now works with that new mechanism. And the last change here is adding this add Microsoft Identity UI to make the sign in and sign out work. And that's mostly it. There was a minor little change that had to happen in the login partial, just to change the areas for the sign in and sign out. We changed to Microsoft Identity. And then, so that we actually prove that this thing is actually working, I'm going to go into index here. So this is my Razor page.
Yep.
And now, because we've added this Microsoft Graph, I can now inject in Graph Service Client. And I store that off in the field. So then when I need to, if the user is authenticated, I'm going to go and do this Graph Me request, get async, and return Graph User.
Very nice.
And there we go. And so, if the demo gods are more favorable to us this time, when we run this, we'll try it from VS Code. Because I have confidence from the 150 times that I've already run this in the last 24 hours.
Yes.
And it's going to run, and then it's going to bring up the browser.
So that's Razor pages, but because Microsoft Identity.web is now available to all 3.1 and upwards ASP.NET Core projects, you get gRPC, you get Blazor, Blazor doesn't work with Microsoft at the end of the web. Let's park it aside. But anything that has ASP.NET Core 3.1 and above, it can benefit from this pattern. So, you know, if you are working with Graph, it's a one-liner to add it to your project, one NuGet package, and then from that point onwards, you can inject it and call it as you see fit. You don't have to have this custom credential provider. I remember, like, even 3 months ago, it was such a pain to create the token provider and pass it to the Graph so you can actually do the authenticated call. So it's great to see how far we've moved forward, and I'm looking forward to what's to come as well.
Don't forget just web APIs. If you're building a web API, you have a spa and you've got a backend web API, then you want to call Graph. This works just exactly the same way. No, we'll have to worry about, is this an auth code provider? Is it on behalf of? It just works.
As long as you get your permissions right and your consents right inside your operating session, everything should work out of the books.
Okay. It's amazing how when you screen, look at that, we now have our out-of-the-box thing with my user with empty, and I'm going to sign in now.
The moment of truth.
Oh, look at that. And of course, it remembered my sign-in from my previous 150 demos, so it didn't actually ask me to sign in.
Yes.
But there you go. It's done the login, and it's provided my user, which it went and got from Graph. Hence, the vast amount of data that is available in Graph is now available to you. So there you go. That is how, in just a few lines of code, you can add full Graph access to your web apps.
I love it. So next steps for our users or for our viewers, go download the SDKs. We have two flavors as well. Do you want to talk about them, or should I not steal your thunder? We have the main one and the beta ones if you want to have some fun with.
Oh, I see. Yes. Well, there's a few little things. There's what we call the core library.
Yeah.
I apologize to all the .NET devs. This has nothing to do with core. It's a .NET standard library, so it works in full framework or it works in desktop. But we have our core library, and then we have our service library. Think of it this way. The service library is all our code-generated stuff that has all of our model classes. So if you want nice, rich IntelliSense, just go get Microsoft.graph. If you just want our HTTP library with our middleware for handling retries and doing auth, you can do Microsoft.graph.core.
Right.
And the Microsoft.graph.auth library is the one that has all of our auth providers. And last but not least, as you mentioned, yes, those libraries are V1. We also have Microsoft.graph.beta, which is the service library that has all the new stuff that is coming. And it's important to realize with the Graph, the way we do beta in V1 is a little funny. Beta is, it's everything that's in V1 plus all the new stuff that will eventually migrate to V1. The beta just exists permanently.
Right.
We're updating it almost weekly now with new stuff. So that's where you go and get all the latest and greatest capabilities.
Awesome. So we'll include the links below. Thanks, Daryl, for coming and enlightening us on Graph and how people can build rich applications for their users, because all that information is just sitting there for you to actually pull it if you're building light on business apps with Azure AD and Graph. And we'll have a follow-up episode where we go into a little bit of how you can customize things with Graph next time. Thank you very much. Awesome.